program that is for our SMF members and here in Sami. We hope in the future to have programs that will run from upper, from, you know, upper level senior management to the lowest level. And I want to indicate that indeed, in terms of this objective, we do not only have management and leadership programs that are concentrated on SMS level, but we do have senior management programs that start from foundation level up till middle management level. I will pass the slide in the hope that the honorable members at least understand the objectives of family over the medium-term expenditure framework cycle. The next slide trying to focus on the strategic objectives that are to be realized in the current year 2007 and 8 and beyond, but I would like to pay particular attention to the one bullet number 3 that speaks to ADISA. Here at Sami, we also want to make a contribution as this is part of our mandate to the skills development process of the country. So we hope to unleash all programs that will contribute towards the realization of the objectives of ADISA. The next slide will be presented later by the CFO as part of his presentation. The next slide, honorable member, speaks to the output for 2006-2007. And these outputs are captured in terms of the delivery units. In Sami, we have those three broad delivery units. The first one, you could realize that in terms of the actual targets for 2005-06, for the first one, change management and service delivery improvement, our targets there for 2005-06, targets were 28,634, but our targets, our actual targets for 2006-07 is 21,602. There's a slight drop there, and the slight drop was caused by the fact that in 2005-06 we had a whole big program coming from social development, and their program then in 2007 was dropped because the aims of the project were met. But I want to draw your attention to the fact that the two other delivery units, that is CRMC, Corporate Resource Management Training, and Management and Leadership Development Programs, have done very well. As an illustration for the Management and Leadership Development Program, you could see there that the actual target for 2006-07 far exceeds the target in 2005-06. And I think that in the main is caused by the delivery modality that is followed by management and development component. Which delivery modality will be used, as the DC will explain in the next slide, will be used in repositioning Sami as an academy, and to my mind, this is a good foundation.
Colleagues, I should mention that Ms. Mulcetti is being very modest here. That bottom line with the biggest increase is her division. And she's being modest about saying that.
Well, as the DC forgets that in the African culture we are taught that you do not blow your own trumpet.
Well, I
okay. The next slide really talks to what are the main differences. The slide, the next one, explains the figures on the slide on statistics that I have been talking about, and then outside construct class. That slide speaks to a year-on-year comparison in terms of our PTEs, that is a comparison between 2006-2007, but in terms of months, in other words, how we're doing month to month, and you will realize that in 2006-07, there was a gradual growth of the delivery of PTEs, and this gradual growth, you realize there was a slight dip in October, but that slight dip in October is comparable to what happened in the previous year. But you realize that in November we have a big spike there, which is also comparable with the previous year. And then once again, a drop in January, in December, January, that is expected, because generally in South Africa, in December, January, we make it. We do not work very hard in December, January. So this is in keeping with the culture of the country generally. Then you realize that February, March, again, there's an increase there in our city. The next slide, honorable members, speaks to the, how can I put it? It speaks to the output, comparing the number of civil servants in each province as compared to how each province or national departments are taking our program. So if we are to look at the Western Cape, for example, if we are to make that as an example, then the Western Cape, you would realize that the blue column, which talks to the number of employees, does not compare with the training that they sought from family. Maybe the same thing could be said again of the national department if you compare them. Maybe because the national department has got other areas or other service providers where they get the training. But if you compare what the KZN, for example, you realize that in KZN, in Limpopo, in Gauteng, we are overrepresented. In other words, we are doing very well there. And so in terms of the marketing strategy, if you wish, maybe we should try and strengthen what's happening in those areas where we are overrepresented, but maybe be more aggressive if necessary in those areas where we are underrepresented. The next slide is just to give you an idea of the mechanisms that we use for ensuring quality control, and I will not dwell a lot on this slide. And then the next two slides have been brought forward. I know that you do have handouts. So slides 29 and 30 have been brought forward in terms of the presentation now. And here we're trying to give you an idea as to our footprint in terms of local government. And I want to say that we in the last 2 years, we have been doing exceedingly well. I mean, if you look at, for example, supply chain management there, in terms of our report, we are saying that we have delivered supply chain programs or training programs to 260 municipalities in 9 provinces. And when I spoke to my colleague when I was trying to prepare for the presentation, he actually said, you underrepresented us here. You said 260, but his actual figure said 285 municipalities, excluding the metro. And the reason for the success here is the collaboration or the partnership between the national treasury and the provincial treasury. So the provincial treasury plays a really big role here in supporting some. we're talking to slide 29, the colleagues. There may be confusion in terms of your handout. The slide is slide 29. The other program that I want to draw your attention to is the training on TFLDP. Probably because that belongs to my unit, and maybe here I want to blow my trumpet, although it's unusual in our culture. We, in terms of the Presidential Strategic Leadership Development Program, we are delivering a number of programs in Limpopo and also in Sekhukhune. The Sekhukhune district has actually enlisted a number of our programs. So those here we have reflected the policy. This program called the TFLDP has actually 8 modules. And this is one municipality that has been on the receiving end of our training in terms of that. The last slide that I'm going to speak to, honorable members, is just an indication as to the partnerships that have been formed between some of the DPLD and SAGA. We're trying to indicate that in our effort to kind of reposition some, you know, we are on a vigorous campaign to ensure that there's closer working relationship between the three entities. And not too long ago, there was a meeting between us and the various players in Bloemfontein. And so that slide is trying to, you know, to give you an idea as to the dialogue, the discussions that are happening between us and those two entities. Thank you, gentlemen. My presentation ends there.
Chair, I think at your encouragement, we'll get all of our cards on the table and take the discussion afterwards. So our next section in your presentation will be a series of slides with the red headings. Perhaps, Chair, we should have changed. We are not in the red, Andy. We are in the black. So the heading was a bad story. And our CFO will lead us through the strategic and more detailed financial situation.
Honorable Chair and Honorable Members, it seems like we're going to do quite a lot of slide domestics today. In terms of your copy specifically, I will take you back to page number 3, specifically slide number 6. And that's the slide showing now on the screen. First of all, I'm going to reflect in terms of the good governance of the department, and then I'm going to give you a view in terms of the 3-year budget, and then after that I'm also going to give you a reflection on the performance for the last financial year. Now, if one looks at the good governance aspect, previous years there was a lot of audit queries that was raised as a result of the final audit report that was compiled by the Auditor General. And out of that, our portfolio committee and our minister instructed us to have a proper financial management improvement plan in place in order to address those queries. Now, 98% of those queries, or things that were highlighted as emphasis of matters, were addressed in the prior years. The department for the past 3 years had an unqualified audit, which actually implies...
Which page is this one?
It's page number 3. And slide number 6.
In this document?
In the color copy
document.
Okay. So can I continue? Okay, thank you.
Chair, could I just repeat our CFO's apology? As he said, we've got a bit of gymnastics to keep us all awake. And that came from the way we try and share the presentation. Because even though I do like the sound of my own voice, we try and have the experts in family each deal with their own areas rather than through me. So our apologies for sending you back and forward to the moment.
I'm going back to the second sub-bullet under the financing, where I was mentioning that for the past 3 years, the department had unqualified audit opinions, which actually gives a clear indication that the internal control in the department was sound. Over and above that, the auditors in the previous financial year, in the audit report, said that we need to have a proper course management and booking system, and we also need to enhance our debt management system. And for that, we actually implemented a Pascal system, which actually, one would see the result if I go to the figures, the impact of an automated system in terms of debt recovery. We also had a court booking system, and it was mainly due to the fact that the auditors wanted to express an opinion on a more complete cycle of income. They say that they could not place reliance on the fact that we say that certain statistics land on a set database, and then from there on, an invoice are developed and the money are recovered. They want to try a process to that in making sure that all the courses that have been presented within somebody really resulted into money and no money went astray. That was the main reason for that. We also enhanced our internal audit component specifically with the intention of, due to the fact that we are a small department, we've outsourced that portion of internal audit. But we're not saying that we don't have control over the outsourced body. What happened is that they still report to the accounting officer, but over and above that, we have three other processes in place where the reporting runs through the audit committee itself, and also the risk management committee is involved in identifying certain things. But the top management committee also from time to time has feedback from the internal audit body, because they basically there to create insurance for the accounting officer. In the recent internal audit committee, there was a review done in terms of the management and strategic processes within the department, implying that they were really looking at service delivery and performance, and how the department internally control that process and monitor performance in order to make sure that there's follow-ups, like our meetings and workshops and so forth. In terms of the human resource development and management, we basically were successful in the implementation of PILA, which stands basically for Policy on Procedure and Incapacity Leave. And then also, we were also successful in the implementation of the objects within the department. I'm now moving to, on your copy, to slide, we just make sure slide 12 on your copy, page number 6. That's where I'm now going to give you the figures that were in context given to us for the next 3 years. Honorable members, we will note that the slide dealing with the 2007-2008 up until 2009-2010 budget. The expenditures basically just to indicate that basically the allocated budget for salary. Now, we have two modalities. We have a budget for the vote, and the next slide will deal with our cost recovery part, where we also have certain projections under the trading entity. This portion of the budget is basically the portion of the budget that we receive from government in order to do our business. On the slide, I will explain what portion goes over to the trading entity. If we look at, for instance, column 1, where the description is, that it's basically a reflection of the economic classifications like compensation of employees, goods and services, capital assets, and then that augmentation portion implies the portion of money that treasury or government allow us to shift to the trading entity in order to enhance the activities under the trading entity. You want to look at 2007-2008, which is basically the next financial year, we received a total amount of 71 million rand. And consecutively, 2008, 2009, we received 75 million rand. And 2009-2010, we received 87 million rand. Now, notably in those figures, of importance is that we received additionally to the original contract that was published in the previous letter, we received 10 million rand for the first financial year, 2007-2008, and then 15 million rand for the next financial year, and 25 million rand for the last financial year, 2009-2010. That money was specifically given for development under the new academy, which we will hear more from when Dr. Hoffman is going to present those slides. Honorable members, I'm moving to the next slide of the training entity. Now, the training entity is where we conduct our training business on a cost recovery basis, and it also includes the augmentation portion, if one needs to simplify the sort of subsidy from government in order to conduct an enhanced business there. Now, if one looks at the revenue under the description, there's basically the revenue, and then there's another bold heading, the expenditure, and then there's a projected surplus. It means that we are balancing our books and see if we totally recover the cost, taking all the elements into account. 2007-2008, we projected a revenue of 67 million rand, of which there will be a specific portion on the transfers received that will basically reflect the augmented part or the transfer part from the vote to the training agency. So also consecutively, the 31 million and the 37 million in the same row will be the same as the amount augmented in the previous slide. Now, if one look in total at those figures in accordance with the expenditure that we projected. Now, the expenditure will basically be for the payment of salaries of the staff that function in the training component, also the goods and services like the training material and those things that you will buy for training purposes. Then, just as a balancing figure, we had a depreciation portion due to the fact that we are on the cost recovery and accrual basis. We are depreciating our certain equipment or certain intellectual capital under this part. Now, the total expense was, as reflected there, for 2007-2008, is 66 million versus the 67 million income, which gives us a projected surplus of 1.5 million, and consecutively for the other years. Then I will move to the next slide, which basically reflects the performance up until the end of March, the previous financial year, just in order also to reflect that our business was sound for the previous financial year. Now, if one looks at the last column with the main heading 2006-2007, that is broken down into three columns, which is the budget allocated for that specific year, the actual expenditure, and the variance in terms of the budget. Did we overspend or did we underspend? If one looks at the totals, we received a budget of 58.918 million. The actual expenditure was 58.428 million, and we had a surplus of 490,000 rand, which is really very minimal in terms of total expenditure. It's basically reflecting an expenditure of 99.17%. If one looks at the next slide, in terms of the training entity specifically, and we want to see how we've done in terms of that, again, to the last main column, which are broken down into three columns, but this time we also have the, under the description, the distinction between total revenue and total expenditure in order to determine a total surplus or a total loss. Now, one will note that in the course fees, and this is what I was referring to when I said that we have a new automated debt recovery system or debt management system that really improved our processes there. But over and above that, we also had an increase in terms of courses as reflected in the previous presentations portion by Lakhim Ketty, of 23% courses more presented than the previous financial year. Now, all those things cumulatively led up to a surplus of 9.6 million rand for the trade. And then we need to take into account the minuses and the surplus and so forth in order to make a balancing figure. The net surplus was 7.094 million rand. So we've also excelled in terms of trading entity. The next slide basically is referring to the explanation that I was giving in terms of the performances for the previous financial year. Honorable chairperson, that's basically, and members, that's basically the portion that I'm doing.
Colleagues, thank you. I'm now taking us into the third section, and what I'll do to speed us along in this section, before I talk about the very far-reaching transformation of SAMBI that is underway in order greatly to expand our output, I was going to drill down into one particular area of our spending for interest, and that is the training that we're doing for the government-wide monitoring and evaluation. But I'm going to suggest we skip these three slides. We can come back to them at question time if you wish, and go to a fourth slide that we just put in this morning, because when I came and introduced myself to the honorable member, the question was raised, what about our activities in the DRC? So instead of talking about the monitoring and evaluation, I'll spend a minute in response to that fresh mandate. Chair, this is a very summary slide. I've just got four areas of interest. The first one, Amden, is an extremely important development for which our minister is very largely responsible. So let me repeat, colleagues, this slide is not in your printout. We made it up this very morning when the honorable member asked about the DRC. So it comes in it comes in just before slide 20. Just before slide 20 on page 10. We want to demonstrate that we are fast and flexible. and I think, Chair, we're not being fast and flexible enough because we haven't acknowledged that the acting chairperson has handed over to the chairperson. Right. On our fast and flexible response here, AMDEN stands for the African Management Development Institute Network. And this was conceived a couple of years ago at a meeting of the Committee of Ministers of Public Administration and Development in Addis Ababa. Our minister, Honorable Fraser Mamaketi, is presently chairperson of the Committee of African Ministers. And they decided as a project to bring SAMDI and its counterparts in other African countries, we're up to 80 such organizations, into a network. And SAMDI was given the responsibility of incubating this new organization, of providing premises and infrastructure while it was legally incorporated, while its bank account was set up for it to receive donor support and so on. And this development has really got into top gear the last 6 months. The minister's advisor, Mrs. Annie van Dijk Robinson, has helped us on a part-time basis as the CEO. And even as we speak this morning, Chair, Amden is having its first executive meeting over 3 days in Pretoria. And I'm the honorary treasurer of the new organization, and I was there yesterday helping to get it going. Chair, I have someone who does the real work, and I'm just the front organization. So, one exciting development, even as it was getting going, Amden already started focusing on its Africa-wide deliverables, and with help from the interestingly Japanese International Development Corporation, we mounted a train-the-trainer workshop in Pretoria, which was attended by 24 senior people from 10 other African countries. It was really a very exciting beginning over 2 solid weeks. Very strong spirit was built and a very good network. So as a result of our minister's initiative, we are in touch with each other, comparing notes, attempting jointly to mobilize on an Africa-wide basis for better public administration training. Now, at the moment, the second bullet is still a bilateral engagement. We know that our president has a very strong commitment to the reconstruction post-conflict in the DRC. And DPSA, for example, is helping with the census of the overall public service. And Sambi's contribution is that we've lodged an officer there, and we have regular visits from other officers every couple of months, helping to rebuild their Management Development Institute. It's, of course, French-speaking emphasis. They call it the École Nationale d'Administration. My French is a little bit better than my Scottish. And our officer is going to be hosting us and the minister and the president in mid-June during his state visit, where we will see the new academy there being brought into being. So I hope that gives some answer to the honorable member of our DRC. DPSA has set up a memoranda already with Rwanda and Burundi, so that will be our next commitment on the same pattern. And we're very often helped in that regard by donor contributions. And in particular, at the moment, the Canadians support us inside South Africa really heavily on gender mainstreaming, but we're hoping that they're also, with their strong regional commitment, going to support our intervention in these other African countries when the President points us to do duty there. So, colleagues, that was how Sambi tried to be fast and flexible. Let's get back to the printed presentation. Slide number 20 in your handout. And this is a bit of background. In this section, Chair, I'm going to be talking about the overall transformation developments in Sambi. Now, these are less representativity developments. In fact, Sambi is in gender and race terms a very representative department. But it's rather a functional and strategic transformation because, as we'll see in a moment, the demands are really much greater than have been dealt with in the past. Now, what is an indication of the demand? This slide is a bit mysterious, but if you concentrate your eyes on the little pink blockies, what they show is the proportion of the payroll budget in every national department that is spent on training. This is a very interesting figure out of Minister Manuel's red book. And if you look at the very right-hand column, which is the average or the total, you will see the little pink blocky is around 2%. What that tells us is the average across government departments, 2% of the total spending on salaries is spent on training. And that is an indication, therefore, of how much training activity there must be overall. Now, 2% is good news in some respects, Chair. The figure in the private sector is that departments should pay 1% of their salary bill to the teachers. to then come back to the training. The government, I think quite correctly, as a learning organization, is spending 2%. The less good news, Chair, is that 2% is an average. And if you look on the left-hand side of the diagram, you see those departments that are spending less than 2%. And if you look on the right-hand side of the diagram, you see those that are spending more than 2%. So I think we should tease the Department of Education there, Chair. It's business of education, but it's rather underspending on the education of its own staff. So I'm going to send this diagram to the DG and see what he has to say. On the other hand, on the right-hand side, you see that Parliament itself is doing is among the better departments, safety and security, water affairs, and so on. Housing claims to be spending nearly 5%, Chair. I think we must check that number. It looks a little bit generous. And maybe by mistake they put some of their housing budget in the training account. But that graph is, I don't think it's really ever been seen in government before. So it's actually very easy. It comes out of the Treasury figures, but I don't think anybody ever put it on the table. So that is the landscape we've got to respond to. Now, if colleagues will forgive me, this graph is full of numbers, but I'm going to spend a little bit of time on it. This is a penalty you play. Chairs, honorable members who are as ancient as I am, will remember that my first 5 years in government, I was the national statistician during the presidency of President Mandela. And so when I get the microphone, there are numbers. And the important numbers here, the top bullet shows that if we read Minister Manuel's red book, we see that government is spending more than R1 billion on training. That's what the departments tell us. But when DPSA actually does a survey in the department and says to employees, how many of you have received training in the last year? 43%, less than half, in provincial departments say they actually received training. And provincial departments is where most of the civil service is, about 8/10. So what that's telling us, that R1 billion is only about half what should be spent. And it should be doubled again. And then maybe everybody will report getting some training, whether from their department, or from a university, or from family, or from the private sector. So that is an indication of the challenge, is that there should be roughly twice as much training going on for people to be reached. Now, how much is enough training? In the second bullet, we draw an international benchmark, and it really is quite modest here. If we look at other governments, they say that every public servant should have 1 working week a year on professional upgrade. That's 5 days. Now, in the Far East, as you could predict, they have more. Singapore does 10 working days per year. Let's not be so ambitious. Even if we want to do 5 working days a year, let's concentrate. Look at the third bullet there on the middle and junior managers. And let's hope that departments themselves look after the lower levels. Because SAMHSA is meant to concentrate on middle and junior management. There are 250,000 people like that in the civil service, Chair. And if we give them each 5 days of training, we need more than 1 million person training days a year. More than 1 million person training days a year. Now let's back off a bit and say, let's suppose that departments themselves can look after 40% of that. Those can look after 60%. For example, they've got their own HR departments, they've got their own trainers in some cases. Let's just make that assumption. Even if we then only have to worry about the remainder, that's 500,000 training days. But that's not all. That's what they say on the adverts on TV. That's not all, folks. What about induction? The president 2 years ago committed this country to saying, bring in 100,000 new civil servants every year. There's quite a lot of turnover. We must induct them into the civil service. We learn the constitution, the values of Batopele, the orientation of their department. The private sector, when it brings in a new employee, makes sure to tell him or her what's going on. We don't always do that in the public service. That's another 200,000 or 0.2 million training days. If you add those together, we get some sort of target, 0.7 of a million or 700,000 training days. And that is nearly 10 times Tamsi's output. If you put in the provincial academies and the units, and we count ourselves as all collaborators, we're still going to do 5 times more than we're doing at the moment. And that is the key challenge for our new strategic direction over the 3 years. Now, we're not promising to get a 5-fold increase in 1 year. It'll take probably 2 to 3 years to get up to speed. But how can we increase the training exposure of public servants by a factor of 5? That is the new challenge. Chair, the next slide gives some idea of what we're doing in Sambi to rise to this. The slide should mention, I'll just say it verbally for brevity, that our minister has a committee of inquiry in 06, where she got expert advice locally and overseas to transform Sambi into an academy and to achieve this much greater output. And the broad strategy recommended by that committee, which we're taking up, is as follows. Firstly, Sambi itself must move to be a facilitating and coordinating and regulating agency. Instead of trying to do the job itself, to get 5 times more output, what we've got to do is focus on getting all possible training agencies to the party. Universities, former technicons, further education and training colleges, provincial academies, provincial training units in the Premier's offices, and the private sector, which has quite a lot of academies and activities. And the idea is to bring them all to the party, encourage them to grow, and to say that government will achieve its purposes by aligning the curriculum and the materials and the doing monitoring and evaluation. So, I'll show you in a moment the support for that kind of strategy, and we summarize in the third, in the fourth bullet there, massification. And our minister has said that we have to massify the provision of training by coordinating and encouraging this range of providers in the different public and private sectors to expand their activities in line with government curriculum. Now, there are obviously going to be 2 main streams of activity in the massification. Lucky has covered the one of them quite a lot, which is the executive development for directors and above. And really, it is interesting to remember directors and above are only 7,000 people in a civil service of 1 million. Now, they're an important 7,000. That's the leadership. But in a way, that's the easier job to do. Because you can collaborate with universities, you can collaborate with comprehensive, and you can ensure that there's enough training. The more difficult job is the second mainstream, which is that 250,000 that we saw on the previous slide of junior and middle managers. And there, as I've said, the approach is to bring all possible role players to the party, encourage and align them, and our key tool for that is in the second last bullet, this idea of a training framework where the approved curricula to be licensed to train for government will be set up. Now, if we look at the next slide, this slide is a bit mysterious, but I'll just point the highlight. This is why we are confident about the new strategy. Well, let's say, Chair, we're quite confident. We're doing a difficult and daring thing here, and we'll have to see how it unfolds over the 3 years. The President and the Deputy President, very lately, as the committee will be aware, have been encouraging their executives, their senior civil servants, to say, think out of the box. How can we raise our game and do something different that really massifies our response? The challenges of service delivery, and in our case, the challenges of training for service delivery. And what this graph shows, the blue parts of each bar. There's a mysterious letters underneath. You saw some of them earlier, Chair. Those are our 3 chief directorates of training. Lucky is the head of one of them, learning to blow her own trumpet here. And there are 3 training divisions. And in each of them, there are 2 or 3, and these are what the bars are. The blue parts of each bar is the work done by Sambi's own trainer. Then we realize that if we bring in outside individual contractors, we can greatly multiply efforts. That's the pink part of each bar. But the big revolution was to say, let's not collaborate just with individuals, but with whole institutions, like universities or sectors of colleges. And that's the green part. When I told you earlier that Lightning Component had led the expansion, it was by saying to universities, form consortia. There's a consortium in the north, there's a consortium in the central areas, there's a consortium here in the south. And in groups of two or three, those universities then provide courses for civil servants, public servants in their region. And the green bar shows how we have been able greatly to increase the throughput of what goes on. And that is what encouraged us in this new model, Chair, that instead of government trying to do itself on a modest scale, government must manage all the providers to do it in an aligned way on a very much larger scale. So that slide motivates and encourages us to this new strategy. I'm sure there's going to be mistakes and problems on the way, and we'll be reporting each year to the committee how it unfolds. But this is our attempt to rise to the president's challenge and say, what dramatically different can you do to escalate government's response to the challenges? Now, the next slide is a little diagram of what we mean by a framework of curriculum to regulate the provision. What you see along the top are the obvious main areas for public administration training. Whether you're talking to an assistant director or whether you're talking to a chief director, there are four or five or six basic areas that he certainly needs to know to run her or his department. Look at the top left. How to manage your finance, how to manage your people, how to manage your project, how to manage your organizational culture, your information, and so on. Whether you do it at a strategic level up at the top or at a delivery level down at the bottom, it's roughly the same suite of skills. That's what the professors of public management reassure. So the general idea is we must ensure that there is enough training in those basic areas at senior, middle, junior, and supervisory level. Or you could put another way, for the senior management service, and then middle and junior training. Now, many of these boxes we can tick already, Chair. Provincial academies, for example, in Natal are doing very well on middle management training. Provincial Academy in Mpumalanga and in Western Cape are doing very well with the universities on senior management training. So the idea is that we want to focus on this matrix of offerings and make sure that whoever is doing it is aligned to government purposes and is happening on the necessary scale. And that becomes our job as a facilitator and a coordinating agent. Now to get there, Chair, I can speed up a bit here. We have some project teams in the organization that are shown on that slide, and I can leave it for people to look at. That is to take us from the present mode of operations to the future. On the next slide, a very important feature is we've got to understand the whole landscape. Stanley used to be rather inward-looking. If we're now going to be the facilitator and coordinator, we have to get into interaction with what's happening at the provincial and the local government level. Like you already told us a bit about the local government, this slide reports we had a very exciting first workshop of provincial functions together with TAMZI and DPLG to represent the local interest to start to compare curricula. There's really a lot of good stuff going on, as I said, Jeff. So if KZN has developed good curricula, other departments must hear about it and copy it. It was donor money or taxpayers' money, and both those parties will be happier the more we copy. The things produced for government must be copyrighted and be shared for maximum impact. And this workshop was the first attempt for each people to each problem to show the others and us all at once who's doing what. We've constituted a network. There's going to be a follow-up workshop. We're going to do the same thing at local government. Chair, this rather mysterious, it looks like a fried egg inside out. It came from the workshop, and really what it was, it is complicated. It was our attempt to understand and respect the entire landscape. The blue block in the middle, this is a blue egg, is the activity going on in national departments. But it's a big reminder, the national departments only account for about 200,000 children. Then the next layer around them is national people who are in provinces. If you think of courts or correctional services or welfare, social development, most of the people in those national departments, their war bodies are actually in the provinces. And that's where they have to get their training. We really haven't properly got our head around that yet. Then comes the next outer layer, which is people in provincial government. And you see we've divided it into 9 slices, one for each province. And that is 800,000 of the civil servants. And that is why the interaction between SAMBI and the provincial academies has moved forward on the center stage. So that is actually the big numerical challenge. Around that is local government, another 200,000 civil servants. Again, a quarter of the managers looked after by DPLG. And what the yellow ring is all the people who are presently engaged in helping. Some of the training is internal, but a lot of it comes from universities, from admin courses at FET colleges, from the private sector, sometimes with international support. And the little orange bit is SAQWA is there with its unit standards, and we have to try and comply with those to make sure the courses are up to standard. So this is now the new understanding of what has to be brought into interaction for a true picture of national public service training. Chair, in your printout, Lucky has already dealt with these 2 slides, and that takes me to the end, the very last slide. Just to recap, we've heard about our existing outputs of executive development and training for junior and middle managers in this framework of learning material. Under the transformation, we're going to focus on providing curricula and materials to align all the providers. And that means much greater emphasis on relationships with our users and on monitoring and evaluation of what goes on. I've pointed out that much of the challenge is in the provinces and in interaction with the provincial academies. I should mention, incidentally, in the Western Cape, there's the oldest provincial academy. And it's had quite a lot of budget over the years, and they've got a lovely wine farm on which to do their training. And we'd love to catch up with that in Gauteng, but there's not a lot of wine farms to find. And so on. So, Chair, that summarizes the different aspects of our present activities, but importantly, the future challenges of the transformation process. And we really look forward to staying in touch with your committee step by step as we unfold the implementation of this over the next few years. And we really look forward to questions and comments in your remaining time.
Thank you very much, Dr. O'Kin, and your team for taking us through your presentation. That was professional, to the point, and vivid and clear. Thank you very much. As I announced earlier on, that our chairperson was busy with some other engagements at the place of government, the city. I'm sad to announce that he is there with us at the end of the chairperson, some is here, led by the capable young man, Dr. O'Kin. They just did the presentation now to earlier teaching. Can I humbly hand over the reins to you? And I don't want to be like some African thing or die on the throne. Same session.
Thank you very much, Bernard, for holding the fort. That is highly appreciated, that you are able to hand over power. Maybe I'll take it. Democratic to hand over power. Well, Dr. Abim, it is you are in the same area.
The same one, Chair. You can see what it looks like 10 years later.
Definitely. In fact, I think the presentation, my colleagues will agree with me, is another part of that experience. It's a breath of a fresh air. Somebody was very critical, those that attended meeting, about the inward looking thing. One. Two, about the issue of focus of wanting to do themselves. And three, that you're not attracted to come into money. Now people didn't want to tell that it was not happening. Now I'm saying the thing that you are coming up with are very exciting. But I could not so forget, I could not ignore to look at a situation where the Department of Provincial Local Government members sees itself as a local government department. The provinces are not there. In terms of its outlook, because if you look at the slide number 10 on interdepartmental committee. The PLG comes in there to represent the local interest, local government interest. And really, I think something that must be taken up quite seriously with them, because we've raised enough in the last meeting with them about them seeing themselves as contributing to provinces than themselves, not than only on local government level. Colleagues, the report is in front of you. The floor is yours.
Thank you, Chair. I must first thank Samji for enlightening us on what it does and the extent of its successes. My question will be three. The first one is, there is inconsistency between what government wants to achieve and what public servants are ready to deliver. And you have spoken about your induction of civil servants on areas including Batopel, which is a vexing aspect of civil servant service delivery. Now, I want somebody to just comment on how successful their collective efforts in giving meaning and effect to Batopil. The second one is, it seems as if the area that they are covering is wide and is growing. Surely it requires a well-oiled and serviced vehicle. And they have spoken about coin 83% understaffing. Now my question is, how critical are these vacant pools? And what is the effect of having that shortage? I can see it's minimal, but in view of the area that they have got to cover, surely they should always be on complement. The third one is, I see that their presence is more in some provinces and less in others. What I would like to establish then, is there a way of prioritizing the provinces? It being our experience that some provinces are weak or are weaker than others. And logic would tell us that maybe the more presence should be in those provinces that are weaker than the others. Thank you.
Thank you, Chairperson.
Let me also agree with yourself and the Honourable Minister that this is a very wonderful presentation that you've just presented for the family. Just to try and remember the purpose of establishing some. I'm not very sure about that, but I think the most strategic reason for the establishment of SAMDI was to ensure that our civil servants do have the required skills in order to deal with the challenge of transformation. I believe if I'm wrong, then you're correct. But I believe that was the purpose. Based on that, if indeed that was the main strategic objective for us, you have been involved in the programs of training for quite some time now. Dr. Ogden, can you say to us with certainty that the training that you are doing together with your partner are making an impact with regard to change management and therefore the transformation of the government into the department? That's one. The second thing is, I see that you have international partner. I'm happy that you actually addressed something that we were talking about outside. You're very proactive, you're very innovative. We're talking about outside the presentation. And I'm happy that you have also in that slide that you invited in this meeting, you have actually also identified other countries that you're working with. Rwanda and so on. Now, looking forward, there are other countries that are requiring South Africa to assist, to intervene. Is that the one that you just mentioned? Is somebody also looking at playing a role in those things? It's very important. Chairperson, South Africa is required. The skills and leadership ability that South Africa is possessing is required by many countries to assist them. And I don't believe that it's only at the political level that we are required to do that. We are also required to do that at the technical level. In those countries that you mentioned, the DRC, about three years ago, Chairperson, when we went there, there was no administration system. You can say to us the situation has improved based on the work that you've been doing. I think those are the most important questions, broad questions that I wanted to raise. But lastly, Chairperson, the effectiveness of your monitoring systems in terms of the work that you are doing. Last but one, you know what we were meeting with the local government, the CETA. They've identified a lot of challenges with regard to skills that are required at the local. I'm happy that the DG has said that partnership has begun. They have identified a range of skills that are required at the local. Are you going to assist them to ensure that they deal with those skills challenges in order to ensure that the local government, which is the most important sphere of governance, does meet its governance challenges? Thank you, Justice.
Thank you very much, Ray.
Thanks, Jefferson. The anti-corruption, just to find out from
somebody else too. Are they aware that when you talk of corruption and fraud, especially in the field, or people who know how to trick the state, are officials from the state? How are we able to name this group? You go to all the departments, you can't find an outsider who comes to the department and do some fraud or corruption. If the people who have been tasked to look into the interests of that department and the masses at large, how are you dealing with that one? The monitoring tool, my colleague has asked it. I think I'll be also be happy if they can just unpack it. The monitoring tool. The kind of assistance that somebody is giving to our brothers and sisters, our neighbors and other countries outside is commendable. Because some of them were there when nobody wanted to be seen, associating with us. But the question is, what out of this, the kind of assistance that we're giving to these other countries, how are we benefiting as a country? In monetary terms or in skill terms or in terms of just the gaining experience as a country. Somebody will be, as the good doctor said, to be transforming into an academy. I want to get this thing clear as to how are we going to do it. Now, the training set, as it was rightly put by the Royal Highness, now, this trend, I understand the trend because usually it is a norm. June, December, January, everything comes to a land and stuff. Is there any move to change some of these things? Because I'm told in some other countries, where some of us, we sleep for 8 hours. In some countries, they say they only sleep for 3 hours. That is the longest hours they will sleep. From there, they are up and they are busy working. And in South Africa, is there no move to try and, I know it won't be easy, to this, to encourage people to just work. In our country, Dr. O'Keefe and Her Holiness, like, it's true, come Friday, you go to these offices where you expect to get some service. There was an unashamedly to say, no, we're living. And about 12, one, they said, no, we're closing, we're living. Don't you know that society is today? They don't say anything wrong. Yeah? How we come to play this role, try and motivate our people to know that they're. If we're saying the working days will be from Monday to Friday, let's see it. Not the other way around. And Monday is as well. How can we motivate our officials, as well as some who are assisting training people, to do some of these days? I once gave this example, Dr. O'Keefe, like in David. That on Monday, one official, there was a queue in front of this official. It's a she, unfortunately. Now, she was on the phone. People are queuing there. Some of them have been there for more than 3 hours waiting for the service. So, chatting on the phone, complaining that the she waited for this partner for the whole weekend. Where were you? I've been waiting for you. No, you can't do this to me. But what's happened? No, you have to make up for this mess.
You know? Now, people are actually gay. She knows about her personal gaze as to how much she lost that weekend. So she's supposed to enjoy some of this passion from her friend. You know? Now, how can we change this attitude? You know? So that you know that the way, and I'm just because the very first line in her presentation talks of Basupid. As referred to by my colleague here, Manuel, the Basupid principle. I know something is a key role player in this one. Try to motivate our people to know that the people say the rest will come later. How can you do this as something? Captain, I want somebody to raise themselves. I want you to raise yourself in terms of other role players that are trying to play some similar role like what you are doing, even though it's a minimal scale. I want you to raise yourself in terms of one, skills development, quality assurance, effective training, coupled it with the financial management, the four concepts. I want to raise ourselves, if you are doing well, please tell us why are you saying you're doing well. If you are shy, how can you assist as the legislator? If you think you are dragging your feet, I think we are having the chairperson has got another multi that he uses in assisting officials that are not doing well. Because the effectiveness of the training was as well as the sake. I think I'll also join there to say, we'll be glad to get how effective is our training. There's another column about what you are spending, and I'm chairperson, you'll see it on slide number 12. It is there again in our slide there. It refers to slide number 12. Slide number yes. It talks of the expenditure in depression. In depression. Am I right? Yes. No, not in depreciation, I'm sorry. I read the wrong thought. I thought that I would just say, yo, how are you? Doing this thing. No, let me be honest. Now, I'm glad to say because they are, when you check in their budget, the only surplus they're talking about is the only 490,000 out of their total budget. That is good. And one plus on their 5% is that they've been receiving an unqualified report for some time. The question, how are you doing? You know, how are you managing? Because some other departments I can take for the past 4 or 5 years, qualified to report every time. Even now, we'll be meeting the Department of Social Security tomorrow. Same thing, qualified to report. And whenever we ask the reason why we're going to next year, won't get this. But I'm telling you, even tomorrow, men are going to confront that department with the same question. But in your case, how are you managing? How can you assist Dr. O'Keefe? Just to advise your colleagues on the other side. Just how are you coping? How are you getting tried? You know? You check the AG when he complains about some of the departments. Some of the things are just ridiculous. You can laugh about it. The things that are clear, what they got is a qualified report. Yeah. Chairperson, I think for now, it is where I have to leave this thing. Oh yeah, it says there's a graph under slide number 20, where they indicate how departments are spending. There are many culprits there, I can see from that graph, those culprits. what are the kinds of shambles we are using to wake them up to the self. But because when you look at that graph today, some of the partners, they are departments that they should be seen as a mirror of this government. Some of the departments that are spending, they are a mirror of this government. But they're performing so bad. I wonder what can one do to try and assist them in this regard. Now, slide number 21. Some provinces, the health department, supported no change in provinces. Why? Did they give any reason why they didn't do some training? The next question that will flow from that. The question about training is slide number 21, the very first bullet. The question that flows from that is there is, yeah, let me use the term I use. Our educators, teachers, they are demanding that from now onwards, when they attend these training courses or when attend any training or workshop, they must be certificated. They can't be trained for nothing. What is somebody saying about this? I know they made a lot of noise to the minister. They said, no, from now on I want to be certificated. What can you do? So this is my question for now. Thank you very much for giving this time. Thank you.
Rana. Well, from this side of the house, I'll start by saying that you talked about one video trend that is supposed to spend per annum, that department is spending per annum, but it is covering 43% of people. Now, we are saying the logic tells us that if you have to cover 100%, it must be more than double. Is it logical? Because you might find that the quality of training is poor. Therefore, it doesn't follow that you require double or more than double. You know, the education, the money that we spend on education in this country, per child, I think it's 23% of the GDP, even more. But the value of it is very poor. Comparatively speaking to developed countries, you find that they spend, even Africa, Zimbabwe, for instance, and other countries. Zimbabwe has the best education system because they invested their money there. I mean, they even invest by putting that money too broad. But the quality of their graduates is higher than us. I mean, we are poor in mathematics compared to every year. When we compare mathematics and science with the world, poor. But the money that we spend per child in relation to GDP is very high. Now, you can see that as a problem now. Now, I'm saying here, I think you must check the quality first before you make that announcement. That was my view. That's a fact. The second thing is with regard to the relationship that you are developing with the Department of Labor. What is the relationship with the Department of Labor? Because you are dealing with the training here now of the government. Labor Department is dealing with the training process and showing skill of people. What is the relationship?
Not only that, but also with the local government system. Because they are doing a lot of work. They are doing a lot of work which can be improved, of course, based on the concept of facilitating and mobilizing service providers and to check the content, whether it's of quality. You don't do that yourself. You allow role players to do so. But we raised an interesting thing, Dr. O'King. An interesting thing that was saying. South Africa standards are too high for the development of the country. You require service providers to know the content, to assess the quality. Quite a lot of things that are required in terms of the skill set. Which you find that a person might know the subject matter, but might not have other things. And therefore, it means the requirement of these things in totality blocks people to provide the business. Particularly, imagine business people. Now, how are you going to deal with that yourself? Or you're going to take the already employed? What is the program of ensuring that those that don't have resources to have all to have everything in a holistic way? Because the local government system, for instance, is dealing with some program that ensures that you are there. If you know you have this, you can be able to move. If you have that and so on, you don't require everything to come. Now, taking it from the what is the program that you have in ensuring that people develop and they are able to grow in that respect? There is this monitoring, government-wide monitoring and evaluation system. What is it? What is it? Because you hear all the time people talk about this thing and so on. And how is this system going to work in practice? I know that we want to check the impact of our program. Whether it's housing, if you deliver housing, are the people satisfied? Whether, but how are we going to do it practically in terms of ensuring that this thing works and so on to check what we're doing? To me, I'm very interested to hear about that. Because it's something that I think will help us a great deal in moving forward as a country. Ndakim Gwena raised the issue around the qualified disclaimer. No, you know this thing that finances. There are two things in finances. It's an income, you must say what is the source, and expenditure. You must say whom did you spend the money to, and have receipts to show that. But year after year, government, which is supposed to be upholding value in society, can't account for money spent. Now, COSAS, you know, there's an organization called COSAS. They live in a concept of faith, each one is one. It goes to the thing that my chief was saying, that given this problem, how do you assist others to move out of this thing, to say that government money is accounted for? So that we are not embarrassed about this qualified disclaimers, qualified opinion, disclaimers, because you can't account for money that you have spent year after year. And then we don't uphold the serious values in society that are needed to be upheld in that way. Now, the last question. Very well here, you are talking about you assisting in looking at the human of names. Have you looked at the capability to assess of the capability of departments and provinces on human resources? Because when I'm good training, but they have institutional structures, people, one body over there, to ensure that human resources development. This is just one. Is there any family that has been conducted? But not just to look at that, but also to look at the company, at the level. To say, I did a department of the size require this level of human resource officer, whether level of chief director, level of DDG, and so on and so on. And check that. Well, I mean, I want to agree with my chief in saying around the issue of finances, you have been doing very well. We can't fault him. What he has not, I think he was generous with you around the surplus, cost surplus of 109. Usually, when you engage with these issues, he says, no, this surplus is under expenditure. Under expenditure means that a service has suffered somewhere by not using this money. I think because it's less than a percent, therefore he was generous. He's not raised that. Not raised that. He was generous. But overall, I think you're handling your finances well. That is impressive. Those are the questions. Any other questions from the colleagues? If none, over to the graphic. The statistician.
Thank you, Chair, the ex-statistician. We hope our statistics are helpful. Chair, we'll take a bit of a risk here. Really, we want to thank colleagues for the very focused attention on all aspects reflected in the questions. And I think what we'll try and do, if you permit that, is to group our answers. It may be then that we will miss taking something up, and then Chair, mindful of the time, either you can have us promise to follow up with email, or we can pick up things we missed here. So I'll try and link three or four questions and hope people see their answers, and then I'll hand on to David and Lucky in turn. We've had a question first on the achieving of Batopele, which I'm relating secondly to the question is, can we say with certainty that our training is making a difference? And further on to questions about how we would wake departments up and improve on the seasonal variation in demand. I think those are all versions of the overall output issue. Chair, we do have specific courses focused on Batopele, things like training of frontline managers, and our present rather small-scale induction course, which we are due to massify to try and reach over time all the people who come into the civil service anew. And those courses have good demand, in particular, for example, home affairs, which we know is a very difficult challenge, also mobilized us, and we gave 800 of their new recruits a frontline service. So ma'am, I hope this lady who was spending her time thinking on the weekend got our Batopele course. But we must say that the training cannot solve everything. There's really a complex mix there. Is there support in the department for trainees to use their improved approach? Is there infrastructure? And the key thing, the link to performance management. I think that this is going to improve over the years. We know our minister is quite keen when we have enough capacity to have the induction program at large to link it to probation so that you will not get your probation confirmed unless you've been on the induction course. And that's where we hope that the impact in the department will be improved. But can we say with certainty our training is making a difference? And I would say the answer, forgive me, Chair, is yes and no. The yes part is that we have a good range of courses by international benchmarking. There is uptake from departments, and the reports are good. And of course, it covers important areas. Lucky one illustration with supply chain management, where we have now reached nearly every municipality, because we know procurement is a problem, and we've worked very hard with good support from the Department of Finance to get out there. But in many respects, we have to say that no part of the answer is our coverage is small. That is why we're having the new strategy of trying to mobilize many more outsourced people. So that it's sound courses, but to much too few people. If I jump then ahead to our aspect chair, who said, how would you rank yourself on skills development and effective training? On the effective training on the content, I would rank us 6 out of 10. Not bad, but room for improvement. But if we said skills development on the volume, I would rank us 2 or 3 out of 10, because that is the whole challenge for the new strategy, is to increase 5 or 10-fold. While we're on the ranking, similarly, I think we have a good quality assurance process at the design stage, so that's a good mark. But at the follow-up stage of asking every trainee how they rate that course, that is only going to be part of our new strategy, because that's how we will keep a finger on all the outsource providers. But our present strength there is not good. So once again, the mark would be 5, a mix of good planning quality assurance, but not yet good follow-up on course delivery. I think I've covered similarly a follow-up question, how to weight departments up, both on a seasonal basis and those departments which are underspending on training. And that is again where I hope that our minister, using her DPSA app, will start to link training and link promotion to performance requirements. Let me, while I've still got the mic, cover a couple more questions in a more unrelated way. There were questions about the international relations, and are there other countries? Indeed, we piloted and learned from our DRC experience. As we pointed out, Rwanda and Burundi to start implementing the memoranda of understanding is next. But already the queue is growing longer because Sudan has been mentioned. It's on the horizon. And I'm glad to say that our international donors are themselves keen. We're hoping that the Canadians will support these efforts, and they're very keen, in fact, that we include Sudan in the suite of activities. But somebody then later asked, what do we get as well as give from these activities? And I think that's a very good question, Cher, because South Africa is widely reserved about being seen to be all-powerful and all-knowing. We sometimes come across as the bully boy, maybe even the bully girl on the continent. But I think in many ways we can learn from democracies and newly emerging countries. We ourselves are newly emerging from conflict. So this recent workshop that I mentioned with 24 people from 10 countries, the strength of the workshop is how much genuine comparing of notes there was. And we were able to hear from Ghana, hear from Zimbabwe about all sorts of ideas that we hadn't thought about ourselves. And so I think I can nearly round. Let me just try and pick up your own question about are we requiring too much of service providers? And what support would we have to avoid simply marginalizing previously disadvantaged suppliers? I think that's a very strong point, and we must take up your ideas. But our overall design is, in fact, a supportive one. We want to focus quite heavily on making available curricula and material at the different levels, if necessary, in the different languages. And that is, of course, government interest in the matter, to ensure that people aren't training from what they're interested in, but are training what government needs its civil servants to get. So that is part of the support. So Similarly, the follow-up quality assurance and the monitoring and evaluation of the courses, that will be another part of the support. But I'm hoping indeed, and the third part will be training of trainers, which we already do. When we bring in private individuals to consult, then we have a training course for them as trainers, and that will be part of the outsourcing model. But I really do have the idea, Chair, especially if we're going to be active in the provinces, that there will be an industry development of small training organizations, so that it's not just in Polokwane, but it's also down the road in Toyandu. It's not only in Nelspruit, but also in Bidvest. And that will be BEE-led providers, ex-civil servants who are in the training business with the help that you recommend. But I don't think we've put it together, Chair, in the way you suggest. What is the overall support function as you prepare to outsource? And I think we'll take that back into our management structure and our strategy. And then, lastly, what is M&E, the government-wide? There, can I recommend that you mandate CPSA, because they're the overall custodian, to give you a more detailed presentation. And I really think that Professor Levine and his colleagues and his counterparts in the presidency have an impressive vision there. They do conceive of different levels of activity, overview the performance of departments as a whole, how is their staffing, how is their expenditure, how is their impact, and then also within departments, how efficient are they in relation to their budgets and their outputs. Those are all different aspects of the overall M&E framework which we are moving towards. But it's a very ambitious thing. And I think we're only a couple of years into it. The presidency and DPSA are the lead partners. A couple of years ago when I visited Britain, I saw that the Prime Minister's office there was just starting its M&E training. Are the trains running on time? What is the length of queues in the National Health Service? And it was just 2 or 3 years ago. That, as so often, South Africa has a very ambitious model, but it takes us a while to grow into it. So DPSA can tell you more about that, Chair, but our responsibility within that is the training of the officials in the department to do their M&E responsibility, partly on the delivery of their output, partly on the governance of the department. And we did a pilot course with the project managers in the department, and we're now generalizing the curriculum, preparing to test it, and roll it out. They even have good knowledge of who the audience is. Let's guess that there are 300 or 400 people who are called M&E officers in departments. Our first step is to find out who they are and profile the need. Then do the training needs analysis, and then make sure that our course fits the demand. So we have a very small piece of the government-wide framework that we're gearing up to provide. Chair, I may have missed some of the points aimed at me, but let's hear from my colleagues, and then people can slap us for what we missed. Okay,
thanks, Mike.
Chairperson, thank you very much. I will start with the questions that are related to, or questions that are related to, the quality of training that we offer, the issue of certificates that teachers are saying they want to be, in a way, accredited for training that they receive. And I want to indicate that it is for this reason that in our presentation we alluded to the learning framework. When I presented, I said that maybe we are not yet there, but in our new vision as the academy, we intend to regulate training that's going to be offered by, you know, training at national, local, or even provincial level. That learning framework would help us to set standards in terms of what material, what curriculum, what type of facilities are must be trained. But also, honorable members, remember that our training is not done in a vacuum. It is training that is regulated by SAFA, and we work very collaboratively with the different And I'm asking the case that, yes, sometimes departments say our short children are not accredited. They're not accredited sometimes because they gain it to accredit the program. It's definitely not an easy one. It's long, you know, a convoluted process. And to give you an example, just last year, in something we started with what became the foundation management program. A very good program that was wrapped around, that's based on UNIP standards. But in the end, then we discovered that the UNIP standards belonged to about 5 different speakers. And it was a journey, you know, to collaborate with those 5 different speakers to ensure that then, in the end, our program was accredited. And so we had to halt the program until first time that the program is accredited. So our program will be accredited. We do not want to offer programs that are not accredited. And the learning framework idea would therefore help us with that. There was also an issue about the capacity of the department to deliver. And I think that the DC alluded to the fact that training cannot be seen as panacea for everything. And as some, the only mandate really that we have is the mandate to, you know, to train people. And so we go out of our way to conduct a need analysis. Our training is not just based on air. We go to the department to do field audits, to do training and analysis. Maybe what we haven't done now is to do a comprehensive survey as to the impact of our training on departments. But I think that as we move into the academy and try to reposition our program, that's one thing that we are going to have to do. Just as we are doing now with the new program that we are conceptualizing on training MNE officials, even before we can put that training on the table, we have embarked now with the process of trying to say who are the players, who are the higher education institutions who offer training in MNE, and in terms of the department, what training have officials thus far received in terms of monitoring and training. There was the issue of how are we benefiting? You know, we go to the DRC, we train, we go to Sudan, we train. How we as a country are benefiting? And I want to indicate, as the DC has said, that we are benefiting a lot. Just 2 days ago, officials who report to me came there from the DRC. And one official in particular said that he was very excited that when management development program was introduced in Zambia, he actually conceptualized the program. And now he has been asked to, you know, kind of take that program to the DRC. And he said he learned a lot in terms of, you know, the things that we in South Africa take for granted. You know, he learned a lot when interacting with the officials in the DRC. He learned in the sense that in this country, you will have photocopies ready, you will have, but in the DRC, you do not have such thing. So, even personally, as a trainer or as a facilitator, you learn to, you know, deal with different circumstances pertaining to your training. So, indeed, we learn, we also develop, because we really are stuck in almost all.
Honourable Chairperson and Honourable Members, I'm going to deal with the questions around the vacancies and the impact of those vacancies moving to this new academy. And then I'm also going to deal with the financial management performance in the context of the unqualified and how we get it right. Now, if you look at the vacancies is basically a natural flow of people that basically resign or were transferred. But let's specifically look at it in the context of the new academy. what will happen is that somebody is going through a total transformation process that will actually also lead to a new organogram or a new structure for somebody in order to deal with the challenges as highlighted for the new academy. Over and above that, on the slides we've indicated that there's different project teams dealing with different aspects. So it actually means that it's also not business as usual. We need to look at our current business processes in order to enhance that, to really align ourselves with the expectations for the new academy. We also need to change our mode of training delivery. And for that reason, the collaboration as an overarching as part of the three main thrusts, and rather than presentation, looking at facilitation of training processes. Now those are the type of things that will basically impact on the vacancies, the structure, and the mode of delivery of training for future purposes. It's a process that is currently ongoing within SAMI, with the intervention of the minister and with the intervention of labor. If I can go to the unqualified statement of financial performance, maybe I can just mention as information sharing and not as blowing off the horn, that for the 2005-2006 financial year, SAMI also received the SAIGA Award. SAIGA, that stands for Southern African Institute of Government Auditors, that basically analyzed the financial statements and the annual reports of departments, and then rate them in accordance with certain percentages that they allocated, and SAMI got that award. But let's go into a process of how do we get to that. We don't go through such performances without the support of the different institutions or the different persons that were basically set there by government. If one look at our minister doesn't leave any stone unturned. The portfolio committee, I've mentioned in our prior presentation that we were required by the portfolio committee and the minister to prepare a financial management improvement plan. Now that plan is not just an overall thing, it included specific workshops, detailed activities in order to how we will address the things that were highlighted in the audit report as a proactive way of not running into the risk of having or qualified financial statements. But over and above that, we have a very active audit committee with a very knowledgeable and experienced chairperson of the audit committee that also on a quarterly basis deal with our financials over and above, looking at the focus of the internal control aspect. We also have an agreement with the Auditor General's office to have an interim audit in place. It implies that we really capitalize on the value-adding processes, the audit that the external auditors need to play through this interim audit process before we go into the annual audit process. Then we also have an active risk committee in place that basically also in a proactive way trying to address certain risks. Although I must admit that we are still in 80% in a mode of being reactive in terms of trying to address risks that were already identified by either the auditors or by other people than being proactive. Now, if one look at all those things, it is not basically new in terms of the dimensions, but it's just that we have strong control and management process and monitoring process in place that really ensure that the things that were approved in the act or the things, the mechanisms that were identified by government as a whole are fully implemented and is running effectively. But how do these things take its course in terms of improving the services, not only within SAMI but also outside? SAMI recently improved
the corporate resource management training division. The corporate resource management training division basically deal with things like project management training, financial management training, supply chain management training, and Ms. Lucchetti referred to certain of the statistics in terms of supply chain management training specifically. The rollout of courses specifically now for financial management training is taking place and needs to have an impact and really address the concerns as highlighted by members. And I think one of the focus will also be the CFOs, specifically within local government, to really look at them and where the services are impacted directly to the citizens, to look at the training there and make sure that we bring them up to standard in terms of training. Thank you.
Chair, just to follow up quickly on that last point, we know that the Deputy President is leading quite hard on the business sector to help, in particular in areas of blockage identified by GISA. And so we've had interesting experiences. One, Old Mutual came forward very quickly, and they have a big training institute, and we pointed them at project management training. Now, the public-private interface wasn't easy. The curriculum was different. They expected their training, but we're going to improve on the next round, and both sides are keen to learn. On particularly CFO, then Liberty Life, of course, if Old Mutual is in there, Liberty Life jumps quickly. And they came forward with an offer from their academy. So we said, that's also welcome on behalf of the Deputy President. And what about CFOs in municipalities? That's a really big challenge because, firstly, there's a lot of them, and secondly, they spread around the country. And Liberty indicated they're interested to take that up, and we'll shortly be meeting to deal with it. Now, Chair, we missed four areas when I did a little check on the questions, and you may want us rather to answer by email so we don't outstay our welcome. The Department of Labor, well, I can also give you a sound by the means. The Department of Labor, we are behind. Thank you for the reminder. We've mainly been opening up dealings with DO, Department of Education, and in respect of local government, in fact. We want the FET colleges to have a big role there, and we've lately met with them. We'll follow with Labor, and I hope we'll have a better report next time on that. On anti-corruption, we have a new course just preparing to roll out, but our colleague wondered, will it actually help? Well, the training part will help. I hope we can link it to performance management, and then it will help them all. Otherwise, maybe we just train people better to know the loopholes in the system. And, of course, that is the job of the department to watch out for that. On the provinces, the uneven outreach, yeah, that's partly a question of distance, partly a question of history. Also, those provinces like Western Cape, which have big academies, do much more of the job themselves. And we want to welcome that and say, all we've got to do is collaborate and ensure the quality is right. And your question on local government, I think we've touched on it in different ways. We're trying to liaise better with Salga, with DPLZ, even the Development Bank has a Willem Lela Academy for Local Development. And our next step is to bring them all together like the provinces and say, you've all heard about each other. There's plenty of work for everyone. Now let's collaborate instead of competing.
Well, on that, I think the local government sector is more than the problem. But at the same time, the human resource issue, to look at the institutional capacity, have you looked at that?
Thank you, Chair. Yes. In a systematic national way, you ask, the answer is no, not yet. And we hope DTLG will be, as DTSA will help with that, because they do the government-wide review. But for each person who asks, we certainly do a needs analysis, and then we have good tools to respond at two levels. Firstly, the human resources needs of general managers, and then secondly, the capacity of what you mentioned of departments' own human resource departments to deal with their own internal training. And there we have courses for human resource practitioners, in things like performance management, changing the culture, and job evaluation. All of those are areas of human resource management, and we do have courses available, and they're quite well subscribed. But in relation to national lead, I'd have to say to you, we don't yet know, and we must get the help of DPSHR.
Probably, I think that, Doctor, okay, maybe we must talk to DPSA about that, because it's important to stand up. South Africa, you know, is two issues. You understand? One among those, you must be able to say, if you have X number of employees, you require the capacity of human resources at this level, so that you know when you talk about people doing work, that you are talking to people who have that ability to do so. There is something like that.
The mind's a bit slow. I think the question is very timely. When you next see DPSA, the DDG Colette Clark has actually just finished a set of standards in exactly that area, and she's due to finalize it, including talking to us about the associated training needs. So I think you'll find you've probably put this point to them earlier, and they have been riding to that even as you talk.
Thank you very much. Well, as you said, that you must not say more than you are welcome here. We have the data, the state information, and the agents on state information. I'm not sure if my colleague also raised something that you feel that was for the fellow out of the crack. If not, I want to thank you very much, Dr. O'Kane, to say that in future, you know, this committee is different from the portfolio committee. What makes it to be unique and different is that it has a provincial class, meaning that when you make presentations, as much as you look at the broader national issues, but you must be able to say in provinces what is expected. In that way, it is able to ensure that members of the city represent the interests of provinces. They are able to understand what is happening and how much work and effort are you putting where. And what resources are you going to do? Are you buying to the open for the economy? Or are you covered by the whole country? That type of thing is important so that you are able to check whether the development of human resources across the country is balanced. And of course, looking at what the and the backlogs that are existing in different areas. That's what we would appreciate there. The other aspect, I think, at some point, we look at your courses. I was talking to Mr. Manyon. He said that he's interested in project management, which is a skill that is required by everybody. Even when you conduct your work, you have a project management skill. It's a must, so that when you do your constituent work, you do it in a project management way. What can you do? You do it that way, just to be part of it. Therefore, I think you would look at some courses that you have. Maybe you'll enroll members in those courses. They come in so that they are able to remove their tax entries. I think that one also we'll look at as we go along, because it's important that we look at capacitation. Hopefully, at some point, you'll come with courses for politicians. You know, the academy for leaders, leadership academy. So that politicians can be empowered, the good politicians across the globe. I think that is relevant at that point. Thank you very much, Bob. I think we'll then ask you to say a word of the parting shot. And then once that happens, Bob Baba Umfei will be prepared to do that on our behalf as a committee.
Thank you very much, with brevity. Just on your last remark, Dambi, I think, under the movement of the new academy, would be interested and pleased to engage with Parliament on leadership development and political principles. One would really prefer the push to come from the users so that we don't feel that we're intruding. But it's well precedented, initially, of course, at the local level. Many countries around the world assume that local government capacity building actually begins with councillors and then also deals with the municipal officials. that at the level of parliamentarians, they are precedent, and we would be interested to learn from them, and Parliament would specify the interests and the needs, and we could explore step by step. More generally, we'd want to say, colleagues, that we are, thank you for your advice for future presentations. We did touch lightly on the provincial and local, and we'll make sure to reshape our presentation in much more detail in that respect. But if we could say that you're really different from your colleagues in another respect, by being a more compact body, we discover that your questions can be very penetrating. And we've learned a lot this morning that we have to take back and improve in our planning. And thank you very much for that.
Thank you very much, Dr.
Thank you, Chairman. Dr. O'Kane and the team, we want to take this opportunity to thank you very much for the presentation that you've given to us. And just to say that we are aware that the challenge of skills development is a daunting task. But I think if we think it must be done, let me put it that way, it must be done. And it is through partnership, all of us working together, that we will succeed. And indeed, once again, as the chairperson said, that we are more biased to the prophet. Whilst you are doing a very brilliant work that you have presented to us, we are happy that you also accept that in future you will give us more details around the work that you are doing in relation to prophets. But clearly, Chairperson, one great challenge that is confronting us is the development of the skills at the local level. And we want to urge you that on the initiative that you have begun to engage at that level, double your efforts. On behalf of the committee, Chairperson, once again, thank you very much for the brilliant presentation. Thank you.
Well, that is well said. I'm informed by the gentleman next to me here that when you open the academy as your principal, the principal can be able to come and witness the opening of the academy. And also that the committee appreciates your honesty. If you continue to be honest as you are, I don't think you can change now. And also cannot learn new tricks. And what will happen is that we'll continue assisting you because you are honest in areas where you've not looked and so on. People at the committee say that they appreciate very much that honesty. Thank you very much, Doc. The meeting is officially adjourned. Let's take for 5 minutes comfort break and so on to allow that Richard to set up and continue.